Younger women are to be husband lovers and children lovers. Well, how can you do this? How can you do it? It seems so impossible to love your husband or children at times, and it is impossible. If you try to manifest this in your flesh, it will not happen. You will become frustrated or you will become fake.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, your message today reveals a mandate directed to younger women, but there's something in here for all of us.
You know, Dave, as we're going to see today, the main application of our text is for younger women. But as you said, there are so many portions of this that are applicable to all of us. So with that in mind, let's take a look at what the Apostle Paul had to say in the book of Titus. We're in chapter 2, verse 4.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
For that they may encourage the young women or cause them to think rightly, the young women, so that they would love their husbands, love their children, be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Now, before we get into the passage, I need to share some portions concerning the grammar here. The main verb in the sentence is sophronizo, basically. But there's another verb in here that you can't see in our English translations. It's emi in Greek. It means literally to be. It literally says in the Greek that they may cause them to think rightly, to be, and then six adjectives and one participle. What does it mean? Ultimately, this is what you are, present tense, to be. What you are to be continually, habitually. Literally, you are to be husband lovers, children lovers, sensible, pure, home workers, kind, subject to their own husbands. This is what God says you are to be. You have not been left in the dark concerning God's will for you. So many people say, what is God's will for my life? And they walk in continual disobedience to what is revealed concerning what He wants them to be. Forget the other will that you're looking at and do the things you know He wants you to be. And He always works out those other things. Okay, so actually I think we're going to see here that there are three areas, basic areas, that God wants younger women to be. We're going to see behavior in relationship to their families. We're going to see behavior in relationship to their walk. And we're going to see behavior in relationship to the domain in which they are called. So let's take a look. Today, I think we're just going to get to the first one, behavior in relation to their families. That they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Notice in relationship to their families, there are two areas that they are to be. First, it says, literally, husband lovers. It's the first thing. Older women are to be teaching what is good, that younger women would be encouraged and think rightly concerning the fact that they are to be husband lovers. This is the first thing. Now, we have a translation here to love their husbands, but literally it's an adjective. In some translations it's a noun, but it's the word philandrus. Philos and aner. Philos is love, friendly love, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, Delphia, Philadelphia. Philandros, it means a husband lover. That's what it means. Philos means friend or loving as a friend. Aner means husband. It speaks of loving affection towards a husband. That's the first thing he says. You're to be a husband lover. And obviously, in context, that's your own husband. Now, the Apostle Paul here is not speaking of also romantic love. Although that's certainly in place and ordained by God in the context of right marriage. But here he's speaking of a tender affection, a friendly love. These are the things that fall by the wayside in the fall. When non-believers get married, it's based on their own desires and their own affections, and there's this romantic love and all these chemicals. But then when things happen and people start acting ways they don't like, they get angry and they start to fight and all these things happen, and we see that in our lives too. We see that this tender affection is really not there, right? It's something that God needs to bring into the relationship ultimately, so much so He has to command younger women to be this, right? It's something that is not natural to you apart from Christ. It is not natural to you apart from Christ to be doing this. You need to be husband lovers first and foremost. Now, I know many of you women are saying, but you don't know my husband. He's this, he's that. He does this, he does that. He doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. It doesn't say anything in this command about what he is or what he does. It just says this is what you are to be. Ladies, there are no qualifications. The command is not based on the worthiness of the husband. It's not based on whether he does what he's supposed to do. It's not based on whether he loves you as he's commanded to. It's not based on whether he communicates with you. It's not based on whether he provides for you what you should be doing. No qualifications here. The command is not based on the worthiness of the husband. It just simply says younger women are to be husband lovers. Younger women are to be, and in the text, continually, habitually husband lovers. You're to be continually, habitually affectionate, friendly toward your husbands. Now that's impossible when two people live together in a sinful state, right? It can only be done by the power of Christ in you. You can't drum this up. It is what you are to be as Christ is controlling you, as we will see. Now husbands, before you run out and say, aha, look honey, here's what you are to be, right? Notice the context of this passage, older women teaching what is good, that the younger women would be this. It doesn't say, husbands, come alongside now and tell your wives this is what you are to be. The context that God has ordained, now certainly they can share the word of God with you and exhort you and vice versa in the context of a godly relationship, but the order that God has ordained is for godly older women to come alongside and say, here's what is good concerning your relationship with your husband. I see you doing this. That's not right. Don't do that. Love your husband. Younger women, you need to be in a position to be humble and say, okay. Are you always in a position to listen to what someone has to say? Maybe they're not right or wrong. Pray, Lord God, is this true? And be willing to be teachable. If you want your wife to be this way, husbands, first of all, love your wives, but exhort and encourage them to be around older, godly women who will obediently exhort and teach her what is good. Don't buy into your wife's own desires to hang out with her own age bracket alone. Foster opportunities for her to be in the body of Christ with older women who will be teachers of what is good. Okay, back to the young women. It takes a determined, humble heart to obey the commands of God. These commands are for your good. It's a good thing. Make a decision to be, by the power of the Holy Spirit, husband lovers. And I tell you right now, your sinfulness and your flesh will tempt you to snap and react at everything. Same with you men. That's the opposite of affection, being irritable and angry and returning evil for evil and not being kind and not being friendly, right? That's not affectionate, right? Scripture is clear. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap from the flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap from the Spirit. Get in the Word of God. Get around godly older women. Be in the body of Christ. Let God do His work through His Word so that you will manifest what is good in a relationship with your husband. Older women, don't stand around idle when women complain about their husbands. Teach what is good. Teach them to be husband lovers. Now again, some of you younger women are saying, and maybe some older, I don't love my husband. It's just not there. I don't love him. The reality is, I don't love my husband. I have no affection for him. Remember, this passage is not dependent on your feelings. It is a command from God concerning what you are to be. And when God commands you to do something, you step out in faith and do what he says, and he changes your emotions later. Just be obedient by his power and strength and be affectionate toward your husband. He says that's what you are to be. And remember, when you obey the Lord God, all of heaven is on your side. For the eyes of the Lord look to and fro that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. Never, never wait for your feelings to get in the right place before you obey God. Just obey God. Obey God. Be obedient. Now, what does this love look like? It's a considering of others as more important than yourself. Philippians chapter 2. You can turn there with me just back a little bit. Philippians 2. Very familiar passage for those of you who were with us when we went through Philippians. And if you'll remember when we went through this passage, he gives a list of questions which in the Greek have the answer yes. If there is therefore any encouragement in Christ, Philippians 2:1, and yes there is. If there is any consolation of love, and yes there is. And if there's any fellowship in the Spirit, and yes there is. And if there's any affection and compassion, and yes there is. If these things are true, and they are, then he says, make my joy complete, being of the same mind, phroneo, very close to sophronizo, right? Mind, thinking, being of the same mind, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. And what is that? Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Affection. Husband lovers looking out for his interests. And husbands, this applies to you too in Philippians, considering your wives as more important than yourself. And ultimately, not at this time we'll go through it, but husbands are to love their wives like Christ loved the church. They're to give themselves up for their wives. Just start loving your husband. Set aside your desires. Be affectionate. Instead of snapping and nagging and arguing, by the power of the Holy Spirit, be kind, affectionate. Be a kind, affectionate, loving friend of your husband. That's what God wants you to be. That's what God wants you to be. And you will reap a tremendous spiritual harvest if it is Christ doing that through you. Don't buy into Satan's lies. Remember, the world is against this. Our society encourages self-love and selfishness. The world says, take care of your needs. God says, be a husband lover. The world says, you have rights. God says, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Young women who are married, are you a husband lover? This is what you are to be. And this should be convicting for the rest of your life when you're not. Just confess it. And say, oh God, I'm sorry, and be a husband lover by the power of the Holy Spirit. Young men, we're coming. Our stuff is coming next week, maybe. Well, along with being husband lovers, how else? What else are young women to be? We see ultimately they are to be children lovers. Again, verse 3, back in Titus. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage or literally cause them to think rightly, so that they would be husband lovers, to love their husbands, and then he says, to love their children. Same grammatical construction in the phrase to love their children. It's the Greek adjective philoteknos. Philos, again, this friendship love, this affection, technon, children. Be a loving friend to your children. Now, that doesn't mean you're still not their parent. It doesn't say be a buddy and let them get away with everything. It's in the context of Scripture, you are the parent, you are the authority, but you are to be a child lover in the sense of a parent. Children lovers. A friendly love between a mother and her children. This is what you are actively to be, the first thing. Notice again, no qualifications, not based on the worthiness of your children. It simply is what God requires you to be. Whether you have children born to you or adopted into your family, young women, you are to be children lovers. And you say, well, how can I show affection towards my children? How can I do this? And we all who have children understand we get frustrated at times because they're children. We need to be children lovers. Wives, you need to be children lovers. Well, how can I show affection? Well, we could spend days going through scripture on this, but just as in Proverbs 31, let's take a look at some examples of the excellent wife, how you can be affectionate. Let's turn to Proverbs 31. This is a passage that makes wives feel guilty. Don't stop there. Confess your sin and be this way. Trust the Lord. He wants to make you this way. He wants to empower you to be like this. And He'll do that if you let Him. So how can women be children lovers? First of all, I think, as we see in verses 10 through 12, you can love your children by showing affection for your husband. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. You want to love your children, be a lover of your husband. Do him good and not evil. Let your children see that. Secondly, love your children by providing for their needs. Verse 13, she looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household. She takes care of the basic physical needs of her household. Love your kids that way by providing for their physical needs. Notice even down in verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and pearl. She takes care of her kids' clothing. Love your children by fearing God and not floundering in worry and anxiety. Be affectionate towards them. Do not be a worry wart or an anxious mother. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing. Dignity sounds like the older woman, right? And she smiles at the future. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Coinciding with the fear of the Lord, we see that she teaches ultimately too. Verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And we share this around our family a lot. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. You're not a friend of your children in this sense, a lover of your children, if you are not kind. Be kind. You can still be a parent and firm and strict and righteous and godly and train and discipline, but be kind. Be kind to your children. And lastly, love your children by watching over them. Verse 27. And I could go through the scriptures so many different ways. This is just an illustration of ways to be affectionate and love them. She looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. She's managing her household. She looks well towards it. She is taking care of her household, which includes her children. She is affectionate. And mothers, if you've not been affectionate, if you've not been kind, tell your kids to just say, I'm sorry I snapped at you guys. Mommy's going to ask for forgiveness right now. And pray, Lord God, I'm sorry I did that. And please forgive me and thank you for forgiving me. And be an example to your children when you mess up. What an amazing thing that is when they see a true relationship with Christ. Because we are going to blow it. We are going to mess up. But God wants us to be, wants women here to be children lovers. So then, we've seen from the passage so far that younger women are to be husband lovers and children lovers. Well, how can you do this? How can you do it? It seems so impossible to love your husband or children at times. It is impossible. If you try to manifest this in your flesh, it will not happen. You will become frustrated or you will become fake. You can't do it by yourself. You can't live the Christian life apart from letting Christ live it in you. It's impossible. How can we do it? Back to Titus chapter 2, which this whole passage hinges on. And we'll close with this. Verse 11. He gives all the commands on what everyone's to be. And then in verse 11, he says, for. He's going to explain. How does this happen? For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. God's unmerited favor in the person of Christ has come, bringing salvation to all men. The offer of salvation to all men. He's declaring that all men everywhere, therefore, should repent. God's grace, He came not to judge, but to give His life as a ransom. His first coming was in grace. He came to live the perfect life in the flesh you could not live. And he came to be the perfect sacrifice you could not be. And he is the only sacrifice that God accepts. When he died, he bore our sins in his body on the cross. He said, "It is finished." The Father accepts that. And if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Lord, you will be saved. And that's the first point. You can't be this apart from that. But secondly, he goes on, and we'll look at this, Lord willing, in a couple weeks. Verse 12, instructing us. This is a continuation of the grace appearing. It has appeared, bringing salvation, but it is currently now instructing us. Or literally training us, or disciplining us. To do what? To deny ungodliness. God's grace in the person of Christ through the Word by the power of the Spirit is teaching us to say no to ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly. That's our word, sophronizo, thinking right. Sensibly, righteously, godly in this present age. God's word, through the power of Christ, by his Spirit, enables you to be who he wants you to be. That's how he does it. And Titus goes so far in verse 15 to say, "These things speak, exhort, reprove with all authority, let no one disregard you." This is how God does it. This is what he wants you to be. And regardless of what the world says, take care of yourself first. You are the queen. Take care of it. God says, be husband lovers, children lovers. Now, what are the consequences when God's people who name his name do not do what he says? The end of verse 5, that the word of God may not be dishonored or literally blasphemed. When you're not who God has created you to be by his power and strength, people blaspheme God. They speak evil against God. Look at those Christians. Look at how they behave. And they speak evil against God. And God does not take too kindly. I won't go through it this week, but we'll see in the weeks to come when his name is blasphemed because of his people. There are serious consequences. But in contrast, if younger women are husband lovers, children lovers, and the things that we will see by the power of God, then this good is manifest and his doctrine or truth is adorned. What God has declared here to be true and right is beautified in the lives of his people. So women, you can either cause God to be blasphemed or you can cause his word to be adorned and beautified. What will it be? God says you're to be husband lovers and children lovers. Husband lovers, children lovers. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but I don't want to stand before the Lord and give an account why his name was blasphemed because of my actions. Maybe with my children. You know, if you're not a husband lover and a children lover, maybe someday your children will grow up and say, look at my parents. They claim to follow the Lord and look at their actions. You don't want that to happen, folks. You want them to see a beautified relationship based on Christ. Are you a husband lover, children lover? It is my prayer that you step out in obedience. Trust him to do it through you.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, the list of expectations for young women is pretty straightforward and simple, yet it's far from easy.
You know, Dave, I would go a lot farther than that and say it's impossible. You see, it's impossible for any one of us to do what God has asked us to do in our own strength. We can't do it. We have to come to that place as we did when we came to faith, where we walk by faith, where we recognize we don't have the ability to do what God says. but we trust him and step out in obedience to what he has said. You see, God is faithful. When we believe what he said, when we step out and do what he wants us to do, he enables us. You see, Dave, we are not adequate to consider anything coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. So you may feel inadequate, you may feel like you can't do it, that's okay, but step forth in faith and trust the Lord, and believe me, you will see him work through you, and he will be glorified in all that you do.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.